happy Mother's Day. The best thing I got from my mom was what Timothy got from his grandmother and his mother. So turn with me to 2 Timothy, and we're going to read verse 5. It'll be up there on the screen for you. Here's what he says, the Apostle Paul talking to nervous young pastor Timothy. He says, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Lord, bless your word. Bless all of us, but especially those that we call mother or aunt or whoever that lady is in our life that has shown us Jesus. Amen." Be seated. Yeah, I really want to encourage you. Some of you are facing your first Mother's Day without a living mom here on earth. It's a hard thing, all those firsts. You know, the first Christmas without mom. Of course, Mother's Day is a huge one. But my mom said, "Michael, you should always preach to the mothers on Mother's Day." And so, Mom, if he's letting you listen, I want to try to do that today. The first person that witnessed Jesus to me was my mom. C.S. Lewis talked about his mother, the author, really amazing theologian. He said, "Her absence is like the sky spread over everything." And that indelible impression that moms make on us before we can remember they were there. I think of Jesus' mother, the first breath that he drew as a baby and the last breath he drew on the cross, his mother was right there. And even if she isn't with you physically, it just seems like wherever you go, your mother is always with you. Sometimes you hear her voice. Like when I get on the motorcycle without my helmet, she'll say, "Michael, where's your helmet?" And I'll hear that reverberating in my ears. She really convinced us to clean our plate, which really shows on me anyway. But the most important thing she did was show us who Jesus was. When we talk about Timothy, it says he had a living faith, and Paul talks about where that living faith comes from. I love it. He says that that I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother. It's a living faith, right? Faith is this living thing. It's an organic thing. It lives inside of people. If Paul were writing to me, he would say, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Nora." Nora, that was my mom's mom, and she was, from all I know, a godly woman. The only thing I remember is when she took me out to feed chickens, and I dropped chicken feet on my feet, and the chickens were pecking my feet, and I started screaming, and she started laughing. And my grandmother, my dad said she was better to me than my own mother ever was. And she knew Jesus, and she passed that on to my mom. And then my mom, Alice, passed it on to me and my five brothers and sisters. And somewhere in this country, all six of us are in church today. Now, what I'm going to tell you today is not a guarantee that all your kids will be automatically saved. I've met some people who thought they could engineer their children into this or that, only to have children and find out they couldn't do that. But what we can do is we can model it before them and live it before them. So this isn't a "you're not doing it right and I'm going to tell you how to do it right." This is just from my experience and from what I know, having had a great mother and being married to the best mother on earth. What did Eunice and Lois, what did they pass on to Timothy? What did Grandma Eunice and Mother Lois pass on to Timothy? And I'm just going to start. And I can't tell you how important what I'm going to say today is. And I just want to affirm you, those of you who are mothers or your aunts, even if you don't have kids, you're probably somebody's special somebody. And this is how that you pass faith on to your kids. And the first thing that I believe that Timothy knew was love. You can tell when a child knows love and doesn't know love. If you're around children much, I've talked to teachers, if they're raised with the right kind of affection, then there's a difference between the kids that are neglected and left to their own devices. And Dr. Sandy Schwartz was talking about that, the importance of affection in the lives of children. And she said that the kids who get the affection that's needed. They have higher self-esteem. They have improved academic performance. They have better parent-child communication and fewer psychological and behavioral problems. But on the other hand, the kids who don't receive that affection from their parents tend to have lower self-esteem, feel more alienated, hostile, aggressive, and antisocial. And so I just want to tell you, Mom, and everybody doesn't get it right, but when you genuinely love your kids and you show them that you love, Dad, you too, but when we're looking at the life of Timothy, his father is never mentioned, just Grandma and Mom. His father was Greek, and as far as we know from the scriptures, he never, ever came to Christ. And so the faith that Timothy had came from the women in his life. I think that a lot of us could probably relate to that. I think of all the single parents and single moms out there. And, you know, whether your mom was a good one or not, I don't know. But what I do know is you can be, and you can make a difference, and you can change the heritage of your children, maybe from the one you receive. But if your mom was a godly mom, she wasn't perfect, but she showed you that she loved you. The first thing that Timothy, I think, learned from his mom was the love of Jesus. The thing about the love of Jesus is, and most moms get this whether they're Christian or not, it's unconditional. That means they love you whether, you know, you're president or in prison. They love you. That's one of the things that mothers can impart is, I love you, but Jesus loves you even more than I love you. And I can remember as a kid, the first song we learned, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, we had that drilled into us. Love one another. I thought that was the only verse my mom knew. And when me and my brother were fighting and I wanted to kill him, she made us hug. And remember, Jesus said, love one another over and over. I thought, is there anything else in the Bible, Mom? And she continuously reminded us that Jesus loved us. And she demonstrated that love. My dad, he was a little stern, which is probably, I don't know, that generation. He was the disciplinarian. He was the, when your dad gets home, you know. And Mom, she made us go get a switch out of the maple tree a time or two. And I would get a little one thinking that would be better. It wasn't better. Okay? I should have got the big brittle one laying on the ground. It would have broke. But no, I got the little buggy whip. And she disciplined us. But, you know, she showed us that enormous love. And she made it clear that the love she had came from Jesus, the truth of Jesus, too, the love of Jesus and the truth of Jesus. And I think that, and in my opinion, in my observation of our current culture, the lies are being so expressed and broadcast and even pressured into the lives of kids that we need to teach our children what the truth is so that when they hear a lie, they know it immediately. Amen? I'll say that again. We need to teach our children what the truth is so when they hear a lie, they say, she's lying. Well, maybe not to her, right? But they know that's not true. The truth that Paul convinced Timothy, and Paul had no doubt won the grandmother and the mother to the Lord. He says this in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. Do you believe that all scripture is breathed of God? That's when we say inspire, that means to put the spirit in, and that word comes from breath, from breathing. When God breathed life into Adam and he came alive, and that same thing that inspired Adam from dust to life also brings life to us. This is the living word of God. You don't seem excited about that. This is the living word of God, and this is truth. His word is truth, and we need to teach our children what the truth is because there's people lying to them every day. And I'm not just talking about their teachers at school and that. That may be the case, but man, they're on here way more than they talk to you. Excuse me, I got distracted a little bit. Tick-tock, tick-tock. You know what that means? Wasting time, wasting time. And the things that they're learning and being told on here or on the iPad or the notebook or the laptop or the computer, we got to teach them what the truth is and impress that on them. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, and so if I don't get it right sometimes, just take it back to the book. He gave us his word, and it's inspired. And hopefully, I pray that I'll have the inspiration of the word when I talk, because that is life. I don't want to speak death. I want to speak life. There's enough death out there. We got to have a living faith. Mom, you have the opportunity to teach your kids the truth. And it's amazing how that truth will serve as a counterbalance to everything else. Try not to teach our children anything they'll have to unlearn later. That's why we have a children's pastor. We want to help you, but they can't do it all. What do we got, an hour a week with your children? And then you've got them whatever time they're not in school and not sleeping. I mean, obviously, you are the first line of defense for your kids. You're the one who holds up the standard of truth. If I preach it here and then you contradict it later, then, you know, they're going to really listen to you, especially when they're smaller. When you get a little older, just a warning what's ahead of you. When your kids get in junior high, you're an idiot. I'm just saying it happens automatically. Almost every kid, I know that's painting with a broad brush, but you are stupid. When your kids, they turn about 13, the brain sucker gets them, and they just, they know everything. And then they go out into the world, and you slowly become a genius. Just giving you hope there. So if you got junior high kids right now, or if you are a junior high and you think your mom's an idiot, you just wait. You're going to come crawling back to her one. I'm just telling you. Look at that. I got an amen from a man. There it is. That's all right, though. It's all right, because I went through it, too. My dad was, and mom were just stupid hillbillies, and later they became genius saints of God. Woo! That's good preaching, y'all. Because Jesus is true, we can trust him. That's why we pray. Abraham Lincoln said this, and if you know the story of Abraham Lincoln, his mother died of what was called the milk sickness when he was just a little child. So his mother died, and his father went and found a bride, Nancy Hanks. Brought her home into the cabin. I just can imagine what his dad must have told her when he said, come on home to my farm. Because there wasn't even a door. There was some kind of material hanging on the door. She came in, and she loved Abraham so much. His daddy didn't really show him much love. His daddy actually would hire him out, and that's why he hated slavery so badly, because he was used like a slave by his father. There was a law in that time that you could send your children out to work, and you got all their money, and he would do that. And Abraham resented his father, but his stepmother, who he never referred to as stepmother, she wasn't a stepmother, she was mother. And when he referred to her later in life, he said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, his stepmother. I remember my mother's prayers. They have followed me, and they have clung to me all of my life. He could not escape the prayers of his mother. When he was a congressman, when he lost the election, when he's elected president in the middle of a civil war trying to hold a nation together, he went in as kind of a deist, like there's a God somewhere. But before long, he was saying, when I don't know where else to turn, I turn to God on my knees. He never forgot the prayers of his mother, and he trusted that God was true. Some of you know history. I don't know that he ever professed faith in Jesus, but I do know this. He couldn't forget his mother's prayers. Mom, pray in front of your kids, not just at food time, too. Pray. I love it. Both my boys pray with their kids at night before they go to bed. And I'm sure Rachel and Dan have some kind of routine or ritual, but teaching them, letting them hear you pray. I'll quit there. I think if I had little children right now, I would focus on the truth in 2 Timothy 3. Paul says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will be boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He says that's the kind of thing there will be around your children in the last days. People, I think we might be in the last of the last days. And I don't know that. I think if we guessed it right, God would change it because he said nobody knows. But the truth is, we have got to teach our children that regardless of how dark it is outside, there is a light that shines and can shine within them through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three, the purpose of Jesus. So what we got is we got the love of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and the purpose of Jesus, which very quickly for Paul, the purpose of Jesus was clear. 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, which I am the worst. That's what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy. I'm the worst sinner out there, and God came to save me. I think we need to remember that our mothers can be our evangelist. That where we hear about salvation, our parents, but I'm talking about mom. Our mothers can be the ones who first tell us of Jesus and his love and the cross and the resurrection and tell it to a little child in a way that they can understand it, make it sticky, and your mother. I mean, would I have really come to faith if mom didn't read me Bible stories? We never read Mother Goose. Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. I never even knew who Jack was. But I knew who Samson was. I knew who David was. I knew who Goliath was. I knew who Jesus was from the time I was a little child. It was like the purpose of God was just lived out in our home. And my mother, who didn't have much of an education, I don't even know if she finished the sixth grade. She did. She repeated the third grade. Not because she failed, but because she was being promoted and the school system, the way it was, there were groups of kids, these rural schools, and so she was getting ready to promote out of that group, and her best friend was a year behind her, and she didn't want to promote and leave her friend, and so she wanted to be held back a year. And so she went home to my grandfather, who was a man of great wisdom. He really was, but they were simple country folks. And she said, Daddy, I don't want to promote. I want to stay back. What can I do? And he said, you go tomorrow and tell your teacher that you can't tell beans from taters. And she went to school, told the teacher, and she got to repeat the third grade. Well, she was a loyal friend. I don't know what that has to do with sharing the gospel. But anyway, the stories that she's told us through the years, man, it's amazing. And then the hope of Jesus is the last thing that we need to share with our kids. We need to share with our kids that this life isn't all there is, that this world isn't all there is. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I love summer. I mean, we go barefoot a lot in the summer. Debbie really does. I got sissy feet, so if there's gravel involved, I've got shoes on. But when I was a kid, we would always play in the summer, and we had clover in our backyard. Even when Dad mowed it, he was close. There's a little clover. He taught us when we were little, you could pluck the petals off clover and eat the ends, and it was sweet, and I was all about anything sweet, and we loved clover. And the only problem was that clover attracts bees, and I would run out there barefooted, and I remember one time, I must have been about 4 years old, and I stepped on a bee, and I started wallering and crying and screaming. People 3 blocks away thought somebody was being murdered. My mother came out. She brings me inside, and she puts me up on the kitchen table, and she holds up my foot. And, oh, don't touch it, you know, and she pulled the stinger out. Then she took some baking soda, got it wet, and held that on there. And between the baking soda and my mother's hand, it didn't hurt anymore. And the Apostle Paul says that because Christ was crucified and because Christ was raised from the dead, that for us, he has taken the sting out of death. Oh, grave, where's your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? For the sting of sin is the law, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God has taken out the sting of death. And my mother taught me when I was a little child that when you die, that's not the end. Hallelujah. I remember as a 2-year-old kid standing next to my grandmother there in the casket in the old parlor of the old house in country San Jacinto, Indiana. I was standing there looking at my grandmother, and my mama came up next to me. She put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, "Mikey, that's my mama. She's in heaven now." From the time I was a little child, I had hope that I was going to live forever if I trusted in Jesus. I just want to encourage you, moms. Most of you are already doing all this stuff, but I just want to encourage you, do it more. Do it more. I know you want your kids to remember your cooking and, you know, all the other things that you did, but whatever you do, make sure that you pass Jesus on to them. Amen? I want to pray for you. Stand with me, would you?